Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, here we go. Middle of the week. Today's the day they play the Hump Day song in the Chopin Bulldog Show. It's Wednesday. Hump Day! Right, that's what they do. I like doing it. That was one of my favorite commercials when it was on, actually. I haven't seen it in a long time, but they still play it every Wednesday on Chopin the Bulldog. Josh, you know what I'm talking about. The camel comes in, right? You have it in there. Hump Day! I don't want to steal it because it's Chopin the Bulldog, but that's what it is today, right?
You always got to celebrate a Wednesday. It doesn't matter, you know, where you are, what you're doing. You always got to celebrate a Wednesday.
Okay, so that said, here, I got a funny story for you. So a few years ago, that commercial comes out, and a few years ago, we were in, I think, Cleveland, maybe. Like, we went in the summer with the zoo, and they had these, like, little camel rides, and Max gets on a camel, and I get on a camel, and I'm on the camel, and, you know, I'm just trying to be funny. My son's in front of me. He's, at the time, I guess, like, maybe 7 or 8. It's a few years ago, and I just look, and there's people looking at me, and I'm on this camel, and I go, Hump Day! And everybody's looking at me like, who is this dude? What is he doing? Right? But that's just how I roll, man. It's just Hump Day. It wasn't Hump Day, though. It was Camel Day. We were on a camel. But today is Wednesday, and I am doing the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show today from Lockport Country Club because I'm going to head on out and play a little bit later. So I thank you, and I appreciate them having the ability to come up here. It's a beautiful space and place, and going to look forward to some golf a little bit later, and hopefully we're planning on having Sneaky Joe with me a little bit later as well. He just got off the Jeremy and Joe morning show. And, we're going to do what we did with Bulldog a couple weeks ago, which is, and with Show, reverse roles. I will basically be asking Joe the questions. I go on his show or on Show with the Bulldog. They ask me the questions about the Bills. And today I'm going to ask him mostly about the Sabres, which is where I want to start because yesterday, Kevin Adams, Jerry Fortin, they held their pre-draft press conference down at One Bills Drive. That's where the Sabres will be holding all of their, you know, draft planning and actual draft operation, I guess you'd say, come Friday night and through the weekend for the 2025 NHL draft. Our Paul Hamilton was down there, and he joins me right now on the West Her Hotline. Good morning, Paul. Was it weird in any way to be in that media room with the group you were with instead of the normal group you're with when we're all down there together for the Buffalo Bills?
For many of the reporters there, it was their first time in that media room because most of them don't cover both teams. You should have seen them. It was like kids in a candy store. They're like,
Yeah.
We have a closet at the arena that we basically are in. It was the media room was forgotten about when they remodeled. And so it shows. It's very stuffy. There's no ventilation. You're packed in there like sardines. It's an unworkable place that we make work. And then they come into this roomy, spacious, plenty of room for the cameras. They're not jammed in, you know, sticking a camera in your back as you're sitting in the back row. And it's mm-hmm. Everybody's just like, wow, look at this. Can we do this all the time? Can we install a rink here? The Bills are moving across the street. Can we install a rink here and use this media room?
Yeah, I think you'll have one game there eventually, sometime soon after it opens. I'll say this, though. It's funny you mention, I've been in the Sabres media room, a handful of times. And you're right, the press conference room. You know what that room reminds me of exactly? It reminds me of an NFL post-game presser for the away teams. Like when Sean McDermott talks at an away stadium after a game, doesn't matter if it's Miami or the Jets or New England, some are better than others, but that's exactly what that room looks like, an away post-game press conference room for an NFL team.
You know what? And to me, it's an easy fix. It would cost a little bit of money, but there's for people who have been down to the arena and go into the parking ramp, there's a space between the arena and the parking ramp, a pretty good size space. And that on the other, if you were able to take that wall out, you'd be basically in the Sabres dressing room area or their meeting room area or whatever might be up against that wall. You could kick that wall out and take it almost to the parking ramp, leave a little bit of lane where people can walk by mm-hmm. outside, but you could really make it more spacious because what the Sabres did, we were going to go in the media meal room, and that became, they took over the room. So they have that for their players and whatever they do in there. So they couldn't make that a media room. So they could make more room for the Sabres. They could make a decent media room out of it. And to me, it wouldn't be all that hard. All they got to do is knock out a wall and extend the building.
Paul Hamilton in the West Shore Hotline, a little behind the scenes on what's how it works down at the media room and the access, because it's a little bit different this year for the Sabres. The draft is on Friday night, and of course, right after that is free agency beginning on July 1, and a lot was on the table yesterday for Kevin Adams. When you came on yesterday, Paul, I said, what's the first topic in question? And we both agreed it would absolutely be J.J. Paterka, and that is exactly what it was. Okay, I came away with even maybe more questions than answers about what the future is with J.J. Paterka, and whether it's in Buffalo or out of Buffalo. How did you interpret anything Kevin Adams said, and maybe kind of refresh what he said for any listeners who didn't hear?
He basically didn't want to get into it, and I understand that. I respect that, actually. I mean, he doesn't want to get into it as far as one way or the other, whether J.J. Paterka is asked to be traded or not. He would like to keep that in-house, and I understand that. He doesn't want to negotiate in the media or do anything like that. So that part of it I got, that he just wanted to keep that to himself. And if J.J. Paterka has a problem, if I were in Kevin Adams' shoes, my thinking would be if J.J. Paterka wants to tell the media what the problem is, that's up to him. Now, I'm not going to speak his business. If he, that's his business, and if he'd like to share with people, that's for him to share. So I thought that was fine, that he really didn't want to get into it. But as it was happening, he drags in, nobody I had on my list, but sometimes you don't get to your whole list about Matias Samuelsson and is there a possibility of buyout and that. But he just went right to it and, was really annoyed with, all the inaccurate reports that are out there. And we all know that. I mean, most of the reports we see are not accurate out there. It's just people kind of throwing darts and, a lot of it doesn't materialize, especially from the reporter that's been talking about Paterka. He might be right half the time, maybe. So, he got into the Samuelsson thing that there's no truth to it whatsoever. It hasn't even been considered, and he feels sorry for the fans that, and it's just like, this isn't coming off good. Maybe feel sorry for the fans that you haven't made the playoffs in 14 years. Not that they have to listen to whether you're going to buy out Samuelsson or whatever. My thought is this. Just go about your business. Don't even talk about it. Don't even address it unless somebody asks you about it. And then just briefly say it's not something we're considering right now and leave it at that. But if nobody brings it up, look at it this way. You're not planning on buying out Matias Samuelson. So that report will be proven to be false eventually because you didn't buy him out. So let it take care of itself. Then people will understand that this guy, a lot of the things he says aren't right and they don't happen. And, you know, some of the other insiders are much more accurate than he is. That's the way I look at it. You know, if you're not planning on buying him out, just let it be. And it'll come out eventually that, well, hey, they didn't buy out Samuelson. That report wasn't very accurate.
I want to get back to Samuelson. I want to go back to Paterka for a minute. Here's a question I've been pondering back and forth in my own head. Let's just say J.J. Paterka did say, hey, I prefer to get traded. I don't think he's, like, to me, it's like, come on, demand a trade at his, you know, status in this league. What are we doing here? But let's just say, you know, he has gone to Kevin Adams and say he prefers to play elsewhere. We know he's a restricted free agent. Who has more leverage in this situation? Is it the Sabres because they still have his rights, quote unquote, as a restricted free agent? Or is it J.J. Paterka because he doesn't have to sign any type of offer from the Sabres?
He doesn't have to sign, but he's just going to sit there. I mean, it's going to be a long time before he's an unrestricted free agent, so it's going to be an awfully long holdout. Now, Michael Pekka held out.
So is the answer the Sabres?
Yeah. Michael Pekka held out, and he took it all the way to February, and then he finally did get traded. So, and Kevin Adams.
He also says it's one of the worst regrets he's ever had as a professional.
Yes, it was.
If I remember correctly, I've spoken with him. I think you have. And I believe he has said something along those lines where, like, maybe not worst regret, but he wishes he could have done it differently, I guess. You know,
and he wished he could have come back to Buffalo. He wanted to come back to Buffalo, you know, later on in his career, and eventually did as an assistant coach with the Amherst. But,
who has leverage, though, you think? Do you think the Sabres have more leverage over Paterka in this situation?
Well, they don't want people around who don't want to be here. But the question is this agent-generated? Did his agent talk him into this?
Right.
And I believe he did because of who the agent is, Alan Walsh. That's the way he rolls. You know, get him into a bigger market. There's more money opportunities for him. He'll be happier. There's more things to do. Because J.J. Paterka on locker cleanout day did not indicate whatsoever that he was unhappy. He talked about playing with Lindy Ruff. He talked about ways he can improve his game for the Sabres. He wasn't downtrodden or anything, saying that he agrees with people that his body language on the ice isn't good and he needs to improve that. There was just nothing to indicate that he was unhappy at all. And then all of a sudden he's unhappy. And I think maybe the agent is unhappy and just thinks it's better to maybe get him out of Buffalo and maybe convinced him because I think I told you yesterday, you know, Pierre LeBrun came out and said the Sabres still would like to re-sign him, and that's the way they're leaning. And I don't think the Sabres are convinced that this is over, that they can't, you know, convince him that the Buffalo Sabres is best for him, which means that even kind of means to me more that maybe this is agent-generated. I think they still would like to try to pull this off if they can, that to keep him here and not have to trade him. Now, are they listening to offers? Sure they are. You know, if it just turns out that doesn't want to play here, they don't want players here. And Adams talked about that again yesterday, that, you know, they don't want players here that don't want to be Buffalo Sabres and don't get up, you know, excited to be a Buffalo Sabre. So, you know, Paterka has to a point that they know that Adams doesn't want people here that don't want to be here. So they know that. Agent knows that. So if they can't convince him, I think eventually, you know, the Paterka's camp, I will put it, will get what they want.
Yeah, it's funny you say about the agent. I agree with you. And I'll say, I think the same thing is happening in the Bills side with James Cook. I think a lot of it's agent-driven. I think James Cook, if you look at the history, he has an agent. I don't remember his agent's name, but someone had told me, look, you know, it's some of the history, even Dalvin, his brother. Like, this is kind of the way he plays it. This is his playbook. And it is interesting because what had happened when James Cook came to Buffalo for minicamp, and I'm going to draw the same parallel you just did, how J.J. Paterka talked at locker cleanout, it's kind of the same way that
James Cook talked just 2 weeks ago, which is when he said he was asked basically, well, why did you put that number out there? I don't know. I just did it. Like, almost like I didn't really want to. Like, he's doing it from the playbook of the agent, and that's the way you're supposed to go about it. So it is interesting how all of those things, and in JJ's case here, if that's agent-driven, look, I mean, at the end of the day, though, the Sabres have your rights, and they're going to give a qualifying offer, and we'll see where it goes. The other part of this, I would say, Paul, is I find it hard to believe the Sabres can make a deal. It's possible, but I find it hard to believe they can make a deal to be better on the ice in 2025 by trading JJ Paterka. I know he's not a complete player. I get that. But it's tough to make a deal like that, to be better on the ice, to trade this player and ultimately get the better player in the deal, so to speak.
And any player in the NHL can become a complete player. That's up to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be able to understand defense and to be a good two-way player, that's up to you if you want to be that. It's not like, well, I want to be a much faster skater. You can improve your skating somewhat, but, I mean, you are who you are when it comes to that. But, you know, if you want to become a better defensive player, you can become a better defensive player. Look at Yuri Kulik. I thought he improved quite a bit defensively from what we saw, mm-hmm. you know, a year ago from him, because he's been working on it. So you can work on that and become better if you want to be. I'm sorry, I got out of a tangent. I forgot what you asked me.
That's okay. No, no. As you're doing that, let me move this Matias Samuelsson, because I don't want to make it all about Paterka. And obviously, you talked about Matias Samuelsson. What's interesting is he did say we haven't had the discussion to buy him out. He didn't say for sure that they wouldn't consider moving on from Matias Samuelsson in some sort of trade.
Right.
But after what you heard from Kevin Adams, do you think the plan is that he will be on this roster, or would they still be open to moving him, you know, and taking a look at that?
I didn't get an impression one way or the other, because he was busy trying to put down the person who was putting that report out there. So that was his agenda on that. I wouldn't buy him out either. I know it's only a little bit over $700,000, but he's on your cap for 10 years. You're paying him for 10 years. And then you get in the spot like they're still paying Christian Ehrhoff. And some fans out there who maybe are a little bit younger, like, who's Christian Ehrhoff? Yeah, they're still paying him. You don't know who he is, but they're still paying him. You know, and I don't like that situation. I would rather trade him for almost nothing. You know, if it's a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick, whatever, it's maybe just getting the money off your cap and getting him off the roster type of a thing, because, as we mentioned yesterday, I don't know as a player in the locker room if you can come back from what you did, especially since Tage Thompson was on a podcast out of St. Louis a week or two ago saying how disappointed he was in that incident. And he also said, I don't think it'll happen again. He goes, we've addressed it. We've talked about it. And he goes, we were much better at it after that, and I don't think it'll happen again. Now, it shouldn't get to a point where you even have to talk about it. It should be automatic from a hockey player that is taken care of. But Samuelsson is kind of the face of that. And even after that, he got into some scrums, but there were others that he didn't. I remember saying to myself a couple of times, are we back to this again, that you're not getting involved? Mm-hmm. And to me, it's hard to come back from something like that in the locker room. So I think it might be better if you know, you just eliminate it however you can. But I don't think a buyout is the way to do it, just because I wouldn't want him on my payroll for 10 more years.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. His reports on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Thinking about today and planning for tomorrow. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Okay, Alex Tuch. Maybe a little bit more of a positive yes. on the news on Alex Tuch front. What did you get from all that?
Yes, I think that was a positive out of it, that you know, he said Alex Tuch knows that he's a priority. Now, remember, Kevin Adams told us in April that Alex Tuch is a priority, but he has made it clear to Alex Tuch in discussions with him that he is a priority, and he says Alex Tuch wants to be here and wants to remain a Sabre, and it is still a priority. And he goes, Alex Tuch knows he's a priority on this team, and he should know that, because if you're trying to get better, you're not going to get better if Alex Tuch isn't here. I don't care what the trade is. He does things for this team that other players don't. And I think he is a key cog. I mean, you already, in my mind, have a spot in your top six. Right now, I don't think Zach Benson, although I like him as a player, I like what he does, I don't think he's a top six player yet. So that's where I think you have a vacancy. If Paterka goes, now you have two vacancies. If Paterka and Tuck both go, you have three vacancies in six spots out of six spots on your top six. Now you have really slid backwards as far as, you know, as what you're trying to do. So I think it just is essential that they come to an agreement with Tuck and keep him here. You almost could say, other than Darlene, he might even be the face of the franchise, just because of being from Buffalo and talking so glowingly about as being a Sabre fan in Buffalo. And, you know, Alex Tuck is always available to speak for the team. And as one of the captains, he will take the responsibility seriously that he needs to speak after games, whether they're good or bad. And, he doesn't shy away from it or hide from it. So, plus he's good with the players, and I think he's a very important cog. So it's just, I think it's very, very important that he remains a Buffalo Sabre.
Do you think anything, Kevin Adams shed any light on what they believe about the goaltending situation heading into 25-26?
No, because it was nothing different from what he said in April. Exactly the same thing, that he's if he goes into the season with two young goaltenders in Lukanen and Levi, he's comfortable with that. So nothing changed there. And he said before, same thing, that, you know, Levi's on a timeline that, you know, when he's ready, he'll let them know. And what he means by that is he'll let them know by his play. You know, he will be playing at an NHL level, and that's how the organization will know that he's ready to go. After a year and a half in the minors, as I said, in the last year and a half, I think the development has been good. I didn't think it was good at all, the way they handled it before that, but I think they've corrected that. I think what they've done in the last year and a half has been good for his growth. I would not be comfortable if I was a GM, you know, going with the two young goalies. It could work out. They both might be lights out. That could happen. Absolutely. Lukanen could regain what he was, not last year, but the year before. Levi could show that he's ready. He has the pedigree to be a good NHL goaltender, being maybe the best college goaltender that's ever lived and being an AHL All-Star. And he has very good numbers in the playoffs, despite not good numbers in the last series. But overall, in the last 2 years, his numbers are excellent in the playoffs. So, you know, he has a good resume. But I wouldn't stake my reputation on it if I were a general manager, knowing I have to make the playoffs, that, well, we're going to do this, hoping, as Zucker says, and you said yesterday, hope is not a strategy. You can't be hoping that these two guys are going to do it. And I just think you got to bring a veteran guy in, and if that means another year starting the year in Rochester, I don't know if Levi would be real happy about that, but you got to do what's best for the team and best for him and his growth.
Paul, before I let you go, Kevin Adams did talk a little bit about, you know, the front office, the addition, obviously, of Jarmo Kekäläinen. No changes on the coaching staff, but specifically on Jarmo, we learned that he is basically working remote. There was a reaction to that on social media from fans. Do you think it's an overreaction in this day and age? I mean, heck, I'm doing a radio show right now. I'm remote. I'm at a golf course. I can do it wherever. I can go to training camp. I can be wherever. I can be on a ship in Italy or in Italy when I'm going in 2 weeks and do a radio show. But also, you know, you can, there's something to be said for being in a certain spot. When I'm in studio, we can see each other. These things happen all the time in the world, is what I'm saying. So when you take it into that context and you think about his role, how important is it that he's not in Buffalo or he is in Buffalo?
If I'm being totally honest with you, that's the thing that hit me the most out of the whole press conference. I know it wasn't talked about hugely. It was talked about, but not hugely. That was the thing where that raised my eyebrows. I go, really? He's not going to be here? You know, and Kevin Adams says, well, he's only a 4.5-hour drive away. Yeah. But I don't know. I like the hire. I think it's a very good hire, but I would like the two men to be together on a daily basis. And yeah, he can join meetings remotely by Zoom and everything, but, you know, to be together at games all the time, sitting next to each other, analyzing, you know, as it's happening. You know, well, this player is really getting in bad habits here. I think, you know, we should do this or we should do that, or I don't know. I just think I was very surprised by that and taken back by that he is not going to be here in Buffalo full time. And I know he's going to be here a lot, But yeah, that is the thing that really struck me from the whole thing that went down yesterday was that I didn't like that. I like the hire, and I think it's a good hire, and I think it was a needed hire. But I don't like the fact that he's not going to be around all the time.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm a little old school on this when it comes to this particular thing. As much as I said, like, hey, we can do this these days, right? Everybody can. I was in a meeting yesterday, and some people were in a conference room. Some people were on a Zoom call, basically. We can do all this. But there's something to be said for walking down to someone's office and talking to them, right? Yeah. Having them a few feet away. If you have, hey, this just came up. Some guy, you know what? Somebody, we just got an alert that somebody is shopping somebody. Let me go talk to my, you know, senior advisor and tell him what about this. There's something to be said about that, I would say.
Or a trade. It said, you know, we've got a half hour to decide on this. Let's put some tape up and let's see this player that we're talking about. You know, let's look at it together here and analyze this player. We don't have a lot of time because there are three teams in on this trade. Do we want this player? Well, you got to be there to be able to do this and to sit together and have this discussion. And as I said, go over some tape and do that. I just think it's better, you know, now Karmanos has pulled it off, you know, being basically in Pittsburgh as the GM of the Rochester Americans, and the Americans have done very well. I think he's done a good mixture of veteran players to mix with the younger prospect players. They've, you know, were in the Eastern Conference Finals a couple of years ago and very easily could have been there this year. So it has worked for him. I don't like that either. But, it, you know, you look at the results and you can't say it's not working for him. So, yeah, they can make it work. But I don't know. I just think that maybe it is what you said, old school. I just think it's better. I think it's better for the organization if the two are together all the time.
Paul, don't go very far this week. You still got tomorrow and Friday. Now, I'm doing the morning show tomorrow, so I don't know if Joe what his plan is yet, but I know that on Friday, either way, the first day of the NHL draft, we'll try and catch up, so I appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, today I'll be more draft-oriented because I did an article mostly on the state of the Sabres, but Kevin Adams and Jerry Fortin also had a lot to say about the draft coming up, and that'll be today's article dealing more with the draft.
And we will talk more about the draft over the next couple days. I appreciate you saying that because as much as, you know, we've talked about all of this that we have with the Sabres roster, they do have the number 9 pick, and they are picking on Friday night. And we'll see where that goes. So we'll talk more about that as the week goes on. Thanks a lot, buddy.
No problem. Take care.
All right. Paul Hamilton right there on the Wester Hotline. We will take a timeout. When we come back, I want your reaction to what Kevin Adams said or didn't say. I have a thought about the reaction to the reaction, right? I guess the way I want to put that is, you know, It's very predictable, and I'm not even criticizing when I say it this way. It's very predictable what the reaction would be to whatever Kevin Adams would say. So I want to kind of get into that, but ask you what your reaction is to anything he said yesterday. 803-0550 is the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Hope you're having a great Wednesday. It's hump day, and we'll be back after this timeout.
Yeah, I mean, I thought at the exit meeting with JJ, with me and Lindy separately, we both were very positive, productive, honest conversations about things he'd done well and how he progressed and things where he needed to be better. And I think that's one of the things I really like about JJ Paterka is his ability to analyze his own game and say, hey, I need to be better defensively. I need to do more to help the team win in games. And I think that's a sign of maturity from him.
Kevin Adams right there, Sabres general manager. He talked to the media yesterday, a pre-draft press conference, pre-free agency press conference, I guess. But more of that will happen before free agency because he'll talk after the draft as well. We'll have full coverage for you here on WGR Sports Radio 550. The draft starts Friday night, rolls into Saturday. And we'll have reaction. We'll have Kevin Adams talking. Of course, if the Sabres do pick number 9, there'll be a lot on that. Of course, follow Paul at PHAM1717 on social and at WGR550.com. I've been thinking about this Paterka thing, and I asked Paul a question earlier. By the way, give me a call, 803-0550, to chime in on anything that you heard yesterday and how you want to react to that. And you know what? I'll get to that first, before the Paterka stuff. So I think no matter what Kevin Adams says at this point, it's not going to go over well with Sabres fans, right? You're just, Sabres fans in general are kind of just like, okay, I'm tired of this. They haven't won. I don't like the guy. He's been in this position a long time, and they still haven't won. Then he makes the comment about palm trees, and people don't like it, right? I mean, that's just where we are. Isn't that kind of the predictability of it? Honestly, I'm not kidding. If let me ask you this, Josh. Am I wrong to think if Kevin Adams came out today and said, we just made a trade for Connor McDavid, yeah, you'd be happy, but people would still not like Kevin Adams, I think, Sabres fans, and think, okay, great, but we still wish another GM.
Connor McDavid, I think would be just right. Fine. But I get your point.
No, like, but like you know what I mean? I'm talking about the GM himself, though, and I know right. People would love the trade, but aren't we to a point, no matter what he says, it kind of doesn't move the needle for Sabres fans until they win?
Yeah, I think so, because there was a lot of, you know, this sort of feeling the year they missed the playoffs by 1 point. There was a lot of this feeling in the offseason right. Of like, oh, they just need a couple pieces. And, you know, they added a couple of them. Maybe this is what they need. And, you know, this was a great offseason. He didn't have to do too much. So, like, let's just hope that everyone advances a little bit further and these couple new pieces will help us out. And then, boom. And nothing happened. They got worse. And so that's where I think you're right. Like, if no matter what he does, it's going to be like, okay, cool. What's the record in December? What's the record in January? What are we talking about at the trade deadline? Are we talking about, you know, moving out guys that are on expiring contracts, or are we talking about making a push and trying to trade for guys that have expiring contracts because, you know, you need guys to help you with a playoff push? Like, that's where people are at, I think, is you get to this point where it's like, yeah, great. Everyone wins the offseason. It's the offseason. People get healthy, players get moved. And you get this new beginning feeling. But for Sabres fans, and, you know, there's other teams like this, but mostly very prominently with Sabres fans, it's the, okay, cool, like, talk to me in March. Like, what's happening then? You know, that's where they've gotten to.
You know what that reminds me of? You weren't here at the time. You were younger, and you weren't working yet at WGR, but one time, Buddy Nix, you know who Buddy Nix is, right? Former Buffalo Bills general manager.
Yep.
He came on this radio station and he said, no one who wants to hear about labor pains, just show me the baby. That's what he said. It was great. It was actually a really great line.
Yeah.
Said, right?
Right.
I mean, and I get it. And that's exactly, Buddy had some really good ones, by the way, but that's what he said. Nobody wants to hear you talk about labor pains, just show me the baby. Something like that is how he phrased it. But it's right. Hey, you can talk all you want. I mean, if you've been winning, then, you know, okay, well, I'll give you a little benefit of the doubt. I think where we are now is Sabres fans just don't give Kevin Adams any benefit of the doubt. I'm not here to tell you you should give him any benefit of the doubt, but I also know that you go into a press conference yesterday. I guess for me what happened was yesterday when I wrote, I tweeted, hey, we're going to carry Kevin Adams' press conference live. And it already, man, it just started getting aggressive right away. It didn't matter. People like, he's not going to say anything. Get him out of here. I don't care. Not going to learn anything. Doesn't matter. Like, that was the reaction even before he said a word, right? So I think that's where we are. That's where Sabres fans are with the Buffalo Sabres general manager. I try to take a different approach myself. It's like, I want to hear what he says. Like, I'm interested. He's the guy running the team. Doesn't matter if you like him or not like him. Doesn't matter what they've done in the past. I need to hear what the plan is about what he wanted to do with J.J. Paterka or Alex Tuch. And then you can formulate your opinion after that. And, of course, if you go into something, you know the way this works, Josh. If you go into something with a preconceived notion, you're going to have bias confirmation, confirm your biases, right? So no matter what Kevin Adams then says yesterday at the press conference, you're going to find a way, if you already think, I don't care what he says, I don't like him, I don't want him my GM, you're going to find a way to criticize a lot of what he says. It's just the way it works, right? It's the same thing we talked about when Josh Allen got drafted. And how many people said, this guy stinks, it's a terrible pick by the Bills, yeah, he can't hit the broadside of a barn, he's totally inaccurate. So guess what happened the first 2 years in the league? Every single time Josh Allen stepped on the field, every single mistake he made, regardless of any great throw he made, every single mistake he made, all those people were amplified. And they made sure that you knew that they said this about him. We are far past that. What's crazy is you still see it, right? You still see it with Josh, because that's what happens, how people get entrenched in their own opinions, their own beliefs, and what they think. And you're just going to have your biases confirmed. Look, I'm sitting at a beautiful golf course right now. I'm looking out. I'm at Lockport Country Club. It's a beautiful view. There's hills and bunkers, and it's great. This is not the easiest course, right? I'm not a great golfer. I love this course. It's not the easiest course for someone like me. Josh, if I'm thinking right now, oh my God, this course is really hard,
as soon as I get out there and hit a couple shots, I'm going to start blaming the course, not just me. Does that make sense? What I'm saying?
I do the exact same thing, so I know exactly what you're talking about. Right. Yeah. Yep.
Yes, exactly. And it's me, though, right? It's still me hitting the ball. Like, you could come out here, Brian Coles, you'll come out here and shoot 70s because that's what he does every time I play with him. But, you know, so I'm like, it's not the course, it's me. Yeah, the course is more challenging, but if I already have it in my head, oh my God, this is a really hard course, I'm not going to hit the ball well today, I'm going to land in some really rough spots, then as soon as it starts happening, yes, I'm mad at myself, but I'm already thinking it's because of the course I'm playing. It's just what we do. And again, you can have every single like thought of not liking and not, you know, wanting Kevin Adams as the Sabres general manager. When I go into these things, no, I think I want to hear what he says. I want to hear what he says about this particular topic and that topic, and then formulate an opinion based on that. I was hoping for more on JJ because maybe I was hoping for more positivity on JJ. I don't want the Sabres to trade JJ Paterka. Now, if they do it, then you better get something really good in return that's going to help you this year. That's one of my bigger fears, and I've said this many times about the state of the Sabres right now. I don't care about 26, 27. I don't care about 2030. There's 14 years into this thing. I don't care about number three pick being floated around. You know, there was someone on the station that was talking the other day, yesterday in the morning show. Who they have on? Chris somebody. What was his name? I want to give him credit.
Chris Peters.
Chris Peters. And Chris is like, look, that's a valuable cornerstone franchise player if you can get the number three pick. Yeah, it can be. It's also going to take some years to become that. And maybe that player eventually becomes way better than J.J. Paterka is. I don't want to wait for that anymore. I don't. I mean, now is the time. And I think Kevin Adams knows that, right? Like, that's what I keep thinking. Like, can he really believe? Because I want to see it. If it happens, if he really believes, if he's in a situation where he says, I got to trade this player, J.J. Paterka, and, you know, I got to move him because of the contract situation, he doesn't want to be here, whatever. If that's what's going on, which we don't know, he also knows, like, he's got to win this year, right, Kevin Adams? I just find it hard to believe that they're going to make a hockey deal to get better on the ice by doing it. Now, it doesn't have to be a one-for-one get better. If you trade J.J. Paterka and you don't get the better player in the deal, that can happen. But it might open up something where, because of the roster spot, because of how the build of the team work, it opens up something else to bring in another player who is better to replace him, right, from another separate deal or free agent. That can happen. So it is possible at the end of the day, at the end of the process, to get better by trading him. I just find it hard. He's a good young player. We could talk all about his defensive deficiencies. Fine, whatever. I mean, they talk about that with Mitch Marner. The guy is, he gets Selke votes. So I don't, and I'm not comparing, you know, Paterka to Marner, but he's a good young player. And I find it hard to believe that this team is going to, and this GM is going to find a deal that makes this team better this year by trading him. Now, what does a contract look like for him? That is definitely a kind of question, an issue, and maybe really a bit of a wonderment, right? Because you just don't know kind of where that fits. And would they want, would he want? At the end of the day, let's just say they do say, okay, yeah, we're going to keep them and all that, qualify them. Is that a bridge deal? Is that a longer deal? How much money is that? And then you also have the offer sheets that could come. I learned something about offer sheets that I did not know because Marty Biron said something a couple weeks ago on Sabres Live. And I had no idea about this. And I looked it up. I'm like, wow, that's interesting. So, Josh, I asked you about this in the break, and I'm glad I'm not the only one who didn't know. I didn't realize this. So I want to read this, okay? Marty Biron said this, and I'm like, wait, well, what is he talking about? So I had to do some research. By the way, I got a couple of things on salary caps I want to talk about with all these leagues because everything's confusing these days. A lot of stuff is confusing. So an offer sheet's compensation to the player's original team. I'll break it down for you. If, let's just say, the Rangers give an offer sheet to J.J. Paterka, right? The offer sheet, if it's over 5 years, it doesn't matter. The annual average is only divided by five. So, for example, if the Rangers offer sheet J.J. Paterka a seven-year deal for $70 million, okay, they don't use the, I guess, am I using, what is that, $10 million a year, right? $7 million a year. $10 million a year. I'm by the way, that's not going to happen. I'm just trying to use some, you know, good math here for everybody. You don't divide it by seven. For the actual purposes of the offer sheet compensation, you only divide it by five. It is the maximum number you can use in an offer sheet compensation calculation, 5 years. So if J.J. Paterka gets an offer sheet for 6 years or 7 years, whatever the total number of value is only gets divided by five for purposes of the compensation going back to the team. And if that number is somewhere between 9 and 11 million, you're getting two first rounders, one second rounder, and one third round pick. If it's 7 to 9 million, you're getting a first, a second, and third round. If it's 4 to 7, you're getting a first and third round pick, right? Now, on the team's salary cap, Josh, on the Rangers' salary cap in that situation, it would still be divided by 6 or 7 years. But for the offer sheet calculation, it's only 5 years. I did not know this.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I think that's really interesting. And also, too, like, you got to remember, like, if we're talking about, you know, just any team doing this offer sheet, let's say it's that $7 million AAV. You can have $7 million in cap space, but what if that team, and this, I saw this from Frank Saravalli the other day, what if the team that's offer sheeting you front loads it with signing bonuses? Where whichever team ends up signing this player has to sign, hey, you know, $5 million of this is going to be a signing bonus as soon as your pen hits the paper. That could also be a big deal for certain teams. Even if you have cap space, you have to have real world money at some point too. So there are like so many levels to these offer sheets. That's why I wish they happened more so people would be able to get to see this more often. But, you know, it's really
there's a term for that, by the way, in football. There's a term for that in football. And I think they eliminated it, but years ago, when there was a different sort of free agency years ago, it's called a poison pill. You ever hear that? Poison pill?
Yep, yeah.
So they put a poison pill, like, clause. And I remember one time this happened. I can't remember the player and who it was, basically. Somebody was offer sheeted. I think the Colts were involved, maybe. And they offer sheeted somebody and said, you're always guaranteed to be the highest paid player on our team. Because they didn't have a quarterback at the time. And the other team's like, well, we can't do that. Isn't that amazing? Like they couldn't do that.
That's
they couldn't
really
match that.
Interesting. Yeah. So that contract would constantly be changing because you'd have to You'd have to pay them higher than the next highest person every single year.
Yeah. So that's a poison pill. And of course, it works different in the NFL because in the NHL, you sign it and it's bam, straight across the board. It's annual average value. NFL, you actually divide the roster, the signing bonus into the number of years. Anyway, I didn't mean to confuse anyone if I did. So basically, what I'm just going to say it again. If you offer sheet someone in the NHL, if the offer sheet is over 5 years, it doesn't matter. Even for salary cap purposes, it's still going to be what it is, like normal. But for the offer sheet calculation compensation, you have to divide the total contract by 5 years. That's the compensation that goes back to the original team. And that's why teams don't really offer sheet anyone over 5 years these days. We will take a timeout. We'll come back here. And I have some more thoughts on J.J. Paterka and your thoughts on what Kevin Adams had to say yesterday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I knew I wasn't totally crazy, but memory is going a little bit as I get a little older here because Jack tweets in at Sal Sports, getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. He tweets in, the poison pill was Seattle signing offensive guard Steve Hutchinson. That is correct. I remember that, Jack. Thank you. From Minnesota. And the pill wasn't to always be the highest paid player on the team, Josh. What it was, and this is what it was, always be paid as a top two or three offensive lineman, including tackles, which get a lot more money in the NFL. He was a guard. So that's right. They put the poison pill in there, but it's still the same effect where you have to constantly adjust the contract. But what they did was they said, we're going to sign you to this offer sheet, and in there is going to be a clause that says you will always be paid as one of the top two or three offensive linemen in the league.
That's really wild. Interesting. I never knew that. I didn't know, like, I'm not that up to date on NFL contract history,
right.
But that's like such an interesting clause that some GM deviously thought up.
Yeah, and I think since then they've kind of done away with those kinds of things in some way. So very interesting. I also learned some stuff about the NBA. Well, actually, I haven't learned it. I am very, very confused about the NBA and something that's going on with that. I want to bring that up on the other side. I talked to you about J.J. Paterka, though. I do want to still talk about J.J. Paterka. And I think there's this part of me that I'm kind of mad about this whole situation and where it is for a certain reason. I don't know if I should be, like, I'm not mad at J.J., I guess. Right? I don't want to do it that way and say it that way. But, like, who is he to kind of, you know, be in this position if he is demanding a trade? And I'll get into that in a minute. So let me take a timeout. When we come back, I want to kind of dive more into the state of J.J. Paterka and the Buffalo Sabres and where they are with him and where he is and all those things we've talked about. Also, NBA, I'm very confused on something that's going on with the NBA right now. So I want to talk about that and any of your phone calls at 803-0550 on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
For me, I have all the faith in the world in UPL and Devin Levi. I believe in my core that both of them are going to be excellent National Hockey League goaltenders. I think we need to play better in front of them, defend better, and that'll help our goaltending. We're open, you know, from Devin, and what I've, you know, and this is not something new to him, you know, he and I have had this conversation within the last few weeks that I believe in him. Timeline's up to him. He's a young goaltender still. Now he's got, some more experience under his belt that when he's ready to take the step, he will, and we'll be ready for that. Do I have a problem if those are our two goalies opening night? Absolutely not. But I'm also going to make sure that we're smart how we do things and put our team in the best position.
I am a Devin Levi truther, I have to tell you. I think that's the right term, right? Is that what the kids say when you really believe in something? You're a truther? Josh, is that how it goes? I believe in Devin Levi. I think he's going to be very good in this league.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to use that term in this, like, setting, scenario, whatever you want to call it. Because, like, you know, you still believe in Devin Levi. You still think that, like, what everyone says about him is the truth. So I think that's right.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what a truther is. I think, either way, I am a Devin Levi truther, if that's the case. That's the way you say it. And I say that because I think he's going to be really good. But I also am not naive enough to think that, like, it doesn't have to happen this year. I jumped the gun last year. I thought maybe he was ready for a little bit more of a role in the NHL. But I totally get why they did what they did. And, you know, yes, I get it. Goalies take a little longer. He just seemed a little different to me. You know, as Paul says often when he's on, arguably the greatest college goaltender ever. That doesn't have to mean anything. But I think that just, you know, he's played at a high level. He's played in the pros now, done well in the AHL. I know it's been a little uneven in the NHL. He's had some good moments. He's had some rough moments. This is a tough spot because I don't want to block a path for Devin Levi to be the starting goaltender and main guy for the Sabres. At the same time, I don't know if he's necessarily ready for that right now. So
And I'm just thinking most of you would say he's not ready for that right now, right? I want it to happen. The best thing, if I could like kind of maybe have one big wish for the Sabres that is possible, I guess. Like one big wish, I think, okay, what is actually realistically possible? Maybe not likely, but possible. My wish might be that Devon Levi just becomes a really good goaltender this year. And we're like, okay, we are set. It is not unlike an NFL quarterback that you draft in late first round, early second round, let's say. Late first round, second, third quarterback off the board. And you're like, this guy, if he can hit right away, oh my God, we are set. And there he is, right? And I think that the kind of way I feel about Devon Levi. I think if I could have one kind of big wish for the Sabres that is possible, even if unlikely, for 25-26, it's, I think, for me to... Because everything else then falls into place. Because not only do I get good goaltending on a team that should be able to score goals. It did score goals last year. Except in the power play. If I get that, I'm probably making the playoffs. And you know what else I get? Oh my God, a young goaltender who looks really good for a long time. And now I don't have to worry about that and think about that because we're talking about it so much. 803-0550 is the number to call. Joe DiBiase, Sneaky Joe, is going to join me at 11:30 or so here from Lockport Country Club, Lockport Town and Country Club. We're going to play out here today. So thank them very much for giving us the space and giving me the space to host the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show out here today and then get out and play some golf a little bit later. So Joe's going to come up and I said, Joe, come on in, you know, come on up and sit with me for a little while. Just so you know, Joe, if you're on your way up, I have one microphone here. I'm going to kind of do like interview style back and forth, but that's okay. But I'm going to ask Joe questions. That gives him more time to talk. I'll ask Joe the questions instead of Joe asking me the questions when I go on with Jeremy and Joe in the morning. And good morning to you here on a Wednesday. It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We are getting connected with our fans when you call me at 803-0550. It is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. So J.J. Paterka, been a lot of talk about him. We've talked about him a lot today. Kevin Adams addressed the situation. I think we have kind of less clarity coming out of it than we did going in. Fine. He has to play the GM part and say what he's got to say and not say what he can't say. But all this stuff about him requesting a trade, wanting a trade. I mean, okay, let's just say he did. Let's just say he does. There's a lot of me that says, I don't care. You're J.J. Paterka, and I don't mean to say that in a demeaning, disparaging way. But you're 23 years old, and you've been in the NHL for 3 years. Yes, I know he played two games his rookie year. I'm looking at it right now. He's 23 years old. He's played in the NHL for 3 years. He's done well. 68 points last year, 28 goals 2 years ago, 27 last year. Nice. You're J.J. Paterka. You're just getting out of your entry-level deal, essentially. Like, you give it, if you, to me, this is not the kind of player in at that status, in this situation, who should be making this kind of demand. If it is a demand, we don't know that. I'm playing out a scenario here. Or request, even. And if Kevin Adams gives into that, I think he sets a tough precedent. I think he sets a precedent he shouldn't be setting for that type of player. Jack Eichel was different. Jack Eichel was only a year and a year and a half older, right? He was 24, 25, I was looking up. But he's in the league 7 years, former second overall pick, who was the face of the franchise. And they revolved everything around him. And they had a big falling out. This is not Jack Eichel. This is a second round pick who developed in your system, who's come in and done well, who's played for 3 years, and is still only 23 years old. I'm not about giving this guy and this player in this situation giving in to that sort of demand. I think that really looks bad on the organization to do that. Now, if the Sabres do internally really believe this is a player that we don't think is going to be the highest level possible player we thought he was. Like, I'll use Matt Savoy in this instance, right? I mean, Matt Savoy never really played in the NHL for the Sabres. Matt Savoy, a very, very talented offensive player. But the question really was, could he be good enough as, in his own end? Is he ever going to really be a good enough two-way player to adhere to the responsibilities he needs to adhere to not hurt your team? And I think the ultimate answer for the Sabres was no. Jiří Kulík, they felt, could be. I had a conversation with someone about before they traded Savoy a couple of years ago that told me this and said, yeah, basically somebody connected to the organization said to me, yeah, I think the feeling is Kulík could be more of a better two-way player and probably has a quicker path to the NHL because of that. And I think that's happened, right? Look where Jiří Kulík is. And he's becoming more of a, and he's improved that part of his game and he understands it. So Savoy, at the end of the day, the Sabres say, we don't think he's going to be that player eventually. Maybe he does, but we're not sure. So you know what? We're okay with trading him and getting a guy that's going to help us now in Ryan McLeod. And that was actually not a bad trade. And maybe Matt Savoy becomes a great player and we're all rueing the day that they traded Matt Savoy. So JJ Paterka, if the Sabres do say in their heart of hearts, hey, we just don't feel this player is ever going to be a $7, $8 million player if we have to pay him that. So let's move on now to get something for him in return. Totally understandable. Those are decisions you have to make. Those are hockey decisions you have to make. But if Kevin Adams wants to keep J.J. Paterka in Buffalo, but J.J. Paterka and his agent, whoever on his side, say, no, 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 we don't want to play for you. We want to be traded. If I'm Kevin Adams, my answer is I don't care. This is not, you can say all you want, and I respect the fact and the notion that you want players who want to be here. That means something to me. That speaks to me. I am a Buffalo guy. I know what we in Buffalo, you know, we deal with from the outside and people talking about us, and it's us versus them, right? I get all that. And you want people to be a part of you. We want to be loved here. I totally understand that. And I get it. It makes sense. And if you don't want to be here, then you know what? We only want guys who want to be here. Well, guess what? Some guys are going to tell you then, I don't want to be here because they just want to go somewhere else and because you're not winning or for whatever reason, and you're making it easier on them to have control over the situation where you should have control of that situation as the person who runs the team to make your team better. You know, I don't want the Sabres to be in the regard of like this ruthless team, how like Vegas is said to be. Like Vegas is kind of a ruthless team. They don't care. You're just a number, but they also win, right? I mean, the Vegas Golden Knights, they win and they make moves and say, we don't care. Like we run the ship here, not you. And we're going to do it. It's a tough needle to thread sometimes. I think the Bills have done a pretty good job with it. Having Josh Allen really helps, though, because they have Josh Allen. People want to play for them. They want to sign for them. They want to stay in Buffalo. They re-sign their own players because guys don't want to leave. They have a chance to win. They have Josh Allen. More than anything, they have a chance to win, and that's because of Josh Allen in a lot of ways. I think it's a really tough precedent to set and a bad one. If they trade J.J. Paterka because J.J. Paterka says, I want to be traded, not because they want to trade him and think it's the best thing for the organization, all you're doing is making it way easier for the next guy to do the exact same thing as him. And that is not a way to operate a team. At some point, you say, look, where the... You know, I was trying actually in the break to come up with a good... like a comparable, good example of, I think in a lot of ways it's like parenting, right? Like your kids want something and they come to you and they're really kind of, I want this. And you want to do what's right by them in a lot of ways, but you are the person who's in charge that has to do what's right for all of you and your family. And you're the person who can make that decision, not them. Now, he could say, if you don't trade me, I'm not going to sign. You can qualify me. You can put all the offers you want in front of me. I'm not signing. Okay. Well, he's going to sit out. He's going to lose a lot of money. I mean, it just gets uglier for him. I asked Paul earlier who has the leverage in this situation. I think Paul kind of like indicated he thinks, you know, it's really the Sabres. And I think that's right because of, you know, that if he was to not sign, he'd have to sit out. Like, he's losing a lot of money there, whereas he could make millions of dollars here on a contract with the Buffalo Sabres. It just doesn't sit well with me if it is the fact that you have a 23-year-old player who's been in this league for 3 years, who is demanding, requesting a trade. And look, that's fine. Like, maybe he's a point of his life. Like, I want something new. I want to be in a bigger city. I want to win. Great. I respect all that. Like, I respect the thought of that, right? Like, I want to win. That's cool. And there's things he needs to have better body language people talk about, and, you know, be a little bit more of a leader and grow up on the ice. And from that standpoint, things like that. Those things happen when you're younger and you're, going through understanding how to be a professional in all walks of life. I always remember what Darcy Regier said, and I think this is right about Darcy. At some point, players have to understand that, like, they have to take ownership of their career, right? And you might want something, you kick and scream about it. That's not ownership. Ownership is doing everything you can to be what the Bills would say is the best version of yourself, and the best player you can be, and the best teammate you can be. And from there, things fall into place. And if things don't work out, yeah, there's a time and place where maybe you're going to have to move on and go to another team, because the organization feels it's best. You can't come to an agreement with the team, whatever it is. I don't think we're here with J.J. Paterka. And I think we're way, way before we should be there with J.J. Paterka. And I think if Kevin Adams trades him simply because he says, you need to trade me, I'm not signing, I'm demanding a trade, I think that's a bad look and a bad precedent, and they shouldn't do it. If Kevin Adams feels, though, that trading J.J. Paterka is what's best for this organization because he'll never kind of be quite the player that they thought he'd be and make the kind of money they're going to have to pay him, then he's got to make a hockey deal. And that's the way it would be spun, right? He said, one of his interesting quotes was, I'm going to read you this quote from Kevin Adams here about J.J. Paterka. And, you know, I know that you can maybe interpret this as maybe not being about him. Let me just pull this up here because this was really interesting. He said something about the fact... Oh, wait, here we go. Okay, here we go. I don't want to say yes or no. Okay. I don't want to say yes or no because I don't think it's the right time. I can probably, after the draft, get into more specifics. Okay, when he says I can get into more specifics after the draft, what does that mean? Does that mean he's going to trade him and then tell us all why he traded him after the draft? Does that mean after the draft, they're going to sign him to an extension right around draft weekend, and then, hey, all this stuff was just rumors? What does that part mean? That's interesting to me. When he was asked if he was asked for a trade, I don't want to say yes or no because I don't think that's the right time. I can probably, after the draft, get into more specifics, but I just don't think it's fair to the player to even respond to that. And that part of it is fine. But what does it mean, after the draft, I'll give you more specifics? Interesting, right? We'll see what happens. I come from a, as you know, football reporting background. I'm very much in tune with how the salary cap works in the NFL. We just had a conversation a little while ago about how offer sheets work in the NHL when it comes to calculating salary cap, calculating compensation. I'm always confused about the NBA. I have to be super honest with you. And I saw that the Celtics have now traded Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis. And I'm like, oh, they're also going to be, you know, unfortunately, without Jason Tatum, probably all next year. They must be rebuilding. But then I read, and I'm like, well, it's not really rebuilding. They still want to win because think about, okay, he's going to be out, but so is Tyrese Halliburton. Damian Lillard's going to be out. Like, a lot of these guys, like, the East is changing a little bit, but there's still some opportunity for a really good team in the Celtics. But they have traded a couple guys. Then I see an article that I read that says Jaylen Brown could be the next Celtics trade. Not only him, but who's the other one? Derek White. My understanding is the Celtics are getting offers, calls on both Jaylen Brown and Derek White. Shams Charania says on SportsCenter. Okay, here's what I'm getting at. This is a lot of this is salary cap stuff, and I didn't know. Josh, do you know what the first apron and second apron and all that means in the NBA?
No, I honestly, like, NBA trades confuse me so much because they're such big trades and they always happen.
No, not even trades, just trade deadline. Like, I mean, just salary cap, I mean. When you hear salary cap, NBA, there's a salary cap apron. Then there's a first apron and a second apron. Did you know this?
No, I had no idea.
See, I mean, right. And some of you out there are going, how do you guys not know that? Like, I know there's a luxury tax in the NBA. I know that, like, if you spend over the salary cap, then you have to pay into what they call luxury tax. That's what Major League Baseball does. The NFL is different. It's a hard cap. You just can't spend over a certain amount. The NHL is different. It's a hard cap. Now, it's calculated different in both sports. That's not what they have in Major League Baseball and the NBA. They have what they call luxury tax. So in these sports, there's a salary cap. You can spend over it, but everything that you spend over it, you have to pay additional taxes onto it that get kind of dispersed throughout the rest of the league. So, Josh, what happens in the NBA is not only a luxury tax, but a first apron and a second apron. Let me explain what it means. So a luxury tax is a penalty for teams exceeding the salary cap. I'm reading from AI, by the way, but it's true. So I want to make it easier. With increasing penalties for higher overspending, there's a what they call first apron. That is a limit that sits above the tax threshold. Teams exceeding the first apron face additional restrictions on using certain exceptions and making trades. Then there's a second apron, believe it or not, a higher limit, exceeding which triggers even more severe restrictions on trades, free agency, and draft picks. If you are above the salary cap, you pay a luxury tax. You pay extra money on all the salaries that you pay. If you go above that, you go above into the first apron, Josh. You cannot use the taxpayer mid-level exception, can't send cash in trades, and face potential future draft pick penalties. If you go above the second apron, you can't use any mid-level exceptions, can't sign and trade players, can't trade first-round picks 7 years in the future. That's crazy. And face additional trade restrictions, including limitations on aggregating contracts and using trade exceptions. This is super confusing.
So it's basically like multiple levels to a luxury tax. Like, it's like,
yes,
you can go over the luxury tax, but then if you go over this part of the luxury tax, you're gonna get more penalized. Like,
yes.
I don't know why leagues just don't do like hard caps. Hard caps make so much more sense.
I know.
It's like, this is what you can go to. If you go over it, you're gonna get penalized. If you don't go over it, you're great. Like, that's, it's that easy. You know, like, I guess I get it. Like with, at least with baseball, it's just one level, right? Like, if you go over this, you're taxed. But, like, this is such an extra, like, it's bringing in the luxury tax and the hard cap together. Because if you go over a cap, if you go over the cap in the NHL, I think it's, there's certain levels of penalization, I think, with that as well. But it's, you pay it back and you also get docked certain picks and things like that. Like,
NFL, you can never operate over the salary cap.
Right.
Like, they won't process a transaction if it puts you over the salary cap. You know what I mean? Like, you can't do that. I'll read you part of this article. Here's a article I found in the New York Post, and I just picked an article that I found talking about both Jaylen Brown and Derek White and the trades of Jrue Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis, which got me into this. It says Boston is playing the delicate game of trying to reconfigure its roster and get below the second apron while still maintaining a championship window. Moving Porzingis and trading Holiday to the Blazers already helped the Celtics get under the second apron in the new very complicated salary cap rules. Yes. So apparently they were already over the second apron. So it's basically three luxury taxes, level one, level two, level three. They went over the first one. They went over the second one, which is the first apron. Now they're over the third one, which is the second apron. After that, so they made these trades. They're now under the second apron, but still above the first. They're looking to get below the first apron and stay above the luxury tax. It is totally wild and complicated. That's what the Celtics are doing.
I was just reading about the NHL. If you go over the cap, you can't make certain transactions such as signing new players or making trades. Or if you have signed a player to a new contract that'll kick in next year, you can't give that player the raise because if you're already over the cap, you can't go more over the cap. So you go basically, like, it doesn't void the contract, but it's like, hey, you have to pay this guy. You got to figure out how you're going to do that. And then if it gets to the point of playing games, you would potentially have to pull players out of your lineup to make yourself cap compliant. And if you get below a certain amount of players, then you just got to forfeit the game. Like, oh that, God. To me, I feel like is more of a penalty than what some of these other leagues do. Yeah. It's like, hey, you might actually just, like, lose games and not play games if you go over the cap. Like, that to me makes much more sense.
I mean, it's crazy how these leagues, like, and I get it, it's all collectively bargained anyway. I mean, like, you know, the NFLPA has a say in this and how all this goes, or the NBA Players Association and all that, no doubt about it. Seriously, it was just very confusing. I'm like, oh, Celtics must be totally rebuilding if they traded Holiday and Porzingis. And then I see an article, oh, they might trade Jaylen Brown and Derek White. Oh, my God, what are they doing? They're tanking? Oh, no, they're just trying to get under the second apron. What the hell is the second apron? I mean, it's crazy, man. So, yeah, that's what I learned today. And about the NHL AAV for offer sheets, which was also pretty wild. Joe DiBiase, Sneaky Joey's in the house here as we are about to play Lockmore Country Club later this afternoon. So he's joined me for a little while. I get a chance to ask him questions about the Buffalo Sabres. We'll do that after this time out on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
I can probably, after the draft, get into more specifics on things, but I just don't think it's fair to the player, to be honest with you, to really.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Even respond to that. I think it's just better to keep it to the fact that we have a plan, we're working towards helping our team get better, we're willing to do whatever it takes to get better. And I get memos on my desk every morning from PR of things, and I feel, if I'm being honest, like, I feel bad for our fans. The stuff that's out there, there's so much misinformation, so much of it's nonsense. I mean, someone that has no idea what they're talking about reporting that we were going to buy Sammy out. We've never had that conversation once. Like, it's ridiculous. So I don't even think it's worth me really getting into it. And I guess I'd just leave it at that.
That is Sabres General Manager Kevin Adams. He spoke yesterday. You can find all of that on demand at WGR550.com. Also, Paul Hamilton wrote about it at WGR550.com. And right now, we have Sneaky Joe DiBiase, who's made his way up here to Lockport. We're going to play Lockport Country Club a little bit later, and Joe just told me he's never played here. I played here several times. Challenging course. You're looking out at the course right now. What do you think?
It looks beautiful. It looks challenging also. We got lucky, I think, too, because it is downpouring or was downpouring in and around the station, and I think we might have avoided it here. But, yeah, the course looks absolutely beautiful. A lot of challenging shots, it looks like.
Joe and I also wear very similar shirts, so we're gonna. I didn't know you were gonna wear the white shirt, but I got mine. What do I got on mine? Like flamingos. You got flowers. I think we're okay. I think we're looking very similar today. Yeah. All right. So Sabres yesterday. Let's reverse roles. I said I go on your show in the morning, and here you're with me on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And by the way, reuniting, right? I mean, we used to do this show together for several years. Okay. I just said, I don't know if you heard it on the way up. I don't think that J.J. Paterka is the type of player who should be in a position of making demands on a Buffalo Sabres. He's 23 years old. He's been playing for 3 years. And if Kevin Adams trades him because of that, to me, Joe, that's a tough look on him, and I think it's a bad precedent to send. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same that I actually have no ill will towards Paterka or feel like there's any criticism of him for exploring the idea of a trade if that's what he wants. But if I'm Kevin Adams, I think I have to take that and say, okay, that's fine. You want out. I'm sure there are other guys that haven't told me directly that want out that are on this team too. But you're 23 years old and I still have 4 years of contract control. Like, I'm not, if I'm not going to get a price that's going to help me win right now from another team, like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to trade you. You can go sign an offer sheet, but we're going to match it. And that's kind of the risk right now, or really, I think, the dilemma, if that's what the Sabres approach is, because let's say that is what it is. Adam says, I'm going to play hardball here, and I'm not just going to cave in and trade the guy away because he asks. It's going to be, all right, here's a 2-year contract. $8 million per even. We'll, you know what? We'll juice it up a little bit with the money to make you happy, as happy as we can here. Now, I'm going to put the ball in your camp. Do you want to sign that deal, and then in 2 years, a little further down the line, you have more leverage, you're closer to UFA status, then maybe you can get out if you want, if you still want to, or if we haven't figured it out. Or you, how ugly you want to make this? Put the ball in his camp to say, all right, go hold out. Don't sign a contract. That's happened in the league. Willie Nylander held out into a season for Toronto, I think a month into the year before he ended up signing. Jonathan Drouin, go look up the letter Jonathan Drouin wrote to the Tampa Bay Lightning when he was a young player in the league. I think he wrote in his letter that he would never play for the organization again. And guess what? After like a month, he was back playing for the team again. So I kind of would want to call his bluff right now. Understand why he might want out, but to me, unless you are getting something that you know is going to help you right now, I'm not. If I'm Adams, I'm not trading him just to trade him.
And Joe, that I don't know if they can. Like, to me, what hockey trade can Kevin Adams make right now that makes them better? What he can do is trade JJ in one deal and then make another deal where you come in over top of him. Right. I don't see the Sabres getting back the better player in the deal, whether it's a forward or a defenseman, by trading JJ Paterka.
Pretty much. I mean, it's not impossible that a deal like that could be out there. I was looking around at certain players that might be available. You know, there are trade stories about right now on other teams. Whether that's, there's a defenseman in Calgary that would fit what the Sabres need. The Bruins might look to trade away their goalie, Jeremy Swayman, because of their relationship, and he has trade protection that doesn't kick in for one more week. So there are ideas around the league, but you need that team to be interested in Paterka. And you need to agree that, okay, we're going to do a hockey trade. And not everybody wants to do a hockey trade. I think Adams, actually, to his credit, has found two in 2.5 years with the Byram trade and then with Norris and Cousins. So I don't want to say it's not out there, but mostly I'm with you that any trade that you make, or most calls I bet you're getting about Paterka, Are you sure you don't want to do it for like the 11th pick in the draft and this our third best prospect? Like, I would imagine most teams are acquiring Paterka to help them win right now, and those teams are probably not giving you a lot back. So to me, I know it sounds ugly right now and that Paterka might want out, but I still feel like I'd want the Sabres to push for him being on the team on opening night.
And then there's the opposite side, which is Alex Tuch, right? I mean, a player that he came out yesterday, Kevin Adams, that is, and said, Alex Tuch knows he's a priority. He wants to be a Buffalo Sabre. We didn't get that answer about J.J. Paterka, which I thought was interesting. By the way, how about the quote of, I can get into more specifics after the draft? What does that mean? What does that mean?
I'm glad you brought that up. I did not catch that when he said that yesterday. That was a good find by you, I heard, on the way in, because I hadn't heard it that way until you pointed that out. That really could be something. That could be Adams, maybe even not intentionally, kind of letting you into, he might have a couple of offers that he thinks are close. Like, maybe there's a team where he just wants a little bit more that maybe are on the goal line. That's definitely guessing at that. But that is interesting that he would put it that way, because if he's not traded, what changes in a week? Other than maybe, I mean, the offer sheet deadline, right? Like, you're closer to that, but I don't think that would really change anything. Like, the only thing that would be different between now and then about why you would be more open and honest about it, I think would be that he's off the roster.
Or what if they sign him to an extension?
Or that. Does anything really make it sound like that's on the doorstep, though? I don't know.
No, I don't think so. Joe DiBiase here, Sneaky Joe on WGR, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and now Alex Tuck. So Alex Tuck, obviously a player who, you know, grew up a Sabres fan. We know that. We know the backstory. But it seems like that seems to be going in a much different direction, and Adam's kind of made it clear. So I'd be kind of surprised if anything other than Alex Tuck not only being on the roster, but being on the roster maybe even with more years on his contract.
Yeah, pretty much. I think extension is, it sounds, it's sounding optimistic, right? He clearly showed yesterday with the Paterka comment versus the Tuck comment that if he didn't think the guy was long for Buffalo, you'd get that implication. You heard that. He did not sound that way about Paterka. He did sound much more like that when it comes to Tuck. So I think the worries about him not being here have been squashed. And I think that's Paterka wanting out is one thing. Tuck, there was just a deeper level of significance if he was going to say, yeah, I'm good. And he hasn't signed yet, so, you know, this still could happen. But there's another layer with him, which is what you just mentioned, that he grew up a Sabre fan. And the GM is still talking about yesterday. He did it again. Bleeding blue and gold and, you know, wanting badly to be a Buffalo Sabre and players that want to be here. That sentiment has continued to exist. So the face of that is Tuck, right? Like, the face of that is the guy that loved the team growing up, that loved Lindy, that we'll talk about the 06 Sabres. If that guy at some point were to hit the ejector seat, then it just feels like the whole thing could come crashing down, at least for Adams on that front. Whereas now, at least I think you have one guy where you know that about. Like, there was a desire for him to be here. Because remember, Tuck still has never signed a contract with the Buffalo Sabres. As much as he's the face of players that want to be here, he got traded here on a deal that he had already signed with Vegas. So this would really be the first opportunity for him to do that.
He also, growing up a Sabres fan, wears number 89. Alexander Mogilny. Did you ever watch Mogilny? Did any part of his career?
I did, but I honestly remember him more for the Leafs.
Okay.
Which, you know, obviously very different than anyone that would have grown up watching him in the early 90s.
What do you remember about, you know, so, okay, comparable maybe here. Like, I didn't watch OJ play. But I remember people telling me, oh my God, O.J. Simpson, how great he was, right? What do you remember about people telling you about Alexander Mogilny?
Honestly, a lot of it is my dad, because he is a huge fan in the early 90s, obviously, and that's pretty fresh still. It's within 10 years from when I start watching, especially the 92-93 team, right, with all the stats and LaFontaine putting up 148 points and Mogilny's 76 goals. So really, that is, I've heard more stories about that Mogilny LaFontaine team than I would have about the French Connection teams. So it mostly is just the dude was lightning fast and could score a million goals. And honestly, for me, a lot of it for him is not just the highlights and for the stats, because you know me, I still have a tough time watching hockey from that era with the goaltending. It still blows my mind. But whatever, they're still impressive. For him, there was a documentary like 10 years ago that Sportsnet did called Defector, about the story of him coming over here, and Jerry Meehan is in that and talks about, like, the stories about them drive. It's Jerry Meehan and there's somebody else from the Sabres and Mogilny in the back of a car, and they're waiting for their flight out of Stockholm, but they have to kill 2 hours, and they're driving the whole time because they think the KGB is following them. Like, it's like a spy movie, basically. And the fact that, like, again, Sportsnet did a documentary about that 10 years ago. Where's ESPN on that? All the 30 for 30s that have been made, or all these sports documentaries that Netflix is putting out. Somebody should do a story on that, because it still kind of blows my mind, the idea that they snuck him out of Europe to get him to come here in the first place.
Yeah, pretty amazing. I agree with you. Well, he is going to the Hockey Hall of Fame. That's pretty cool. Finally, Alexander Mogilny getting into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Well-deserved, I think. You think it was overdue. Do you have a player in any sport that you think, I think Steve Tasker's the easy one for Bills fans, right? So even eliminating him, this should be in the Hall of Fame. I have Ricky Waters as number one. And we've talked, I don't know if you don't remember Ricky Waters playing, but when he retired, it was like him, Thurman, Marcus Allen, and Walter Payton as like the greatest like dual threats or overall backs ever.
You know, McGillney would have been the guy for me. I might have to find a new one. I mean, really, maybe I should spend less attention on arguing with people why Eli shouldn't go into the Hall of Fame than find somebody that I think should be in the Hall of Fame. Because really, like, who is that other? Ricky Waters is a good one. You hear him a lot. Hockey. Now, you know what it is? The Hockey Hall of Fame and the Basketball Hall of Fame, it just kind of feels like everybody gets in now. So for those sports, maybe it's a little bit harder. For football, you know what this is going to be for me? It hasn't happened yet, but this will be my version of Ricky Waters. This generation or the last generation of running backs, who's going to get in? Marshawn Lynch and Adrian Peterson, Frank Gore. LeSean McCoy. Jamal Charles is the all-time leader in yards per carry, but does he have enough stats? I wonder if there's going to be a running back or two that was awesome and great that gets left out kind of the same way that Waters did.
All right, last thing for you before I let you go. Another minute or so here with Joe DiBiase on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Goaltending. I'm a Devin Levi truther. I do think he's going to be very good in the league. I also understand that it's a little bit too much maybe to ask for right now. If I could have one wish that's realistic for the Sabres, I love what you said today about the drought ends by a goalie. Yeah. Getting really hot. If I could have one wish for this team that's realistic, maybe not likely, it's Devin Levi becomes really good next year. Is that possible? And what do you think about them going forward?
I think it's possible. It's more, I think it's becoming more and more clear, though, that it's a little bit of a crapshoot of not only if he will be good, because I'm with you. I still think the raw talent is there, that this guy's going to be a really good goalie in the NHL. But it's so tough to predict when the guy is actually going to arrive. Ryan Miller, he's 25 years old. I think Ullmark's maybe the same age. And those are both Vezina winners that this team drafted. There's not a lot of sample of guys that arrive when they're 21, 22 years old. That was a lot of my point in the last couple of years is, not that he can't do it, but there's not a lot of history that tells you, you got to be special to be able to arrive that early. But now he's at an age where he's kind of, 2 years in the AHL. This is about when the really talented guys start showing up. So I think it could happen. I wouldn't want to put all my eggs in it, though, because it could be one more year. It could be two more years. Honestly, that wouldn't be that bad a result. 2 years and the guy at 25 years old, 24 years old, I mentioned there's other examples of that, becomes a stud, becomes like a top 10 starting goalie in the league. But what do I do in the meantime? Because my confidence in Luukkonen at this point is pretty low. He could do it. But again, it's could do it, could arrive early. There's too much ifs, ands, and I think the best outcome is this team does a hockey trade with Luukkonen. Same thing you did with Cousins. Same thing you did with Mittelstadt. I'd like it to be at the same position. And I've been looking to see what goalies might be available. I mentioned Swayman earlier for Boston, but I think that's a bigger deal than just Luukkonen. Jake Allen's a free agent, and that's kind of it. The tough part might be that idea of flip Luukkonen, maybe pair him with something else in a hockey deal and get a more stable number one goalie to pair with Levi while Levi continues to grow. Someone write me in a name or something, because it looks like it might be tough sledding out there in the goalie market.
Joe, thanks for doing this, buddy. Thanks for coming aboard. We're going to play golf in a little while. Joe DiBiase, Sneaky Joe. We're getting ready to play some golf. And in the meantime, we're going to come back here and wrap things up on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right. Want to thank Lockport Country Club for having us out here today. Beautiful space. About to go and probably get pretty much eaten alive by this course. Thanks a lot to Joe DiBiase for joining me on location out here. Paul Hamilton as well. Sabres Live up next. One Bills Live. Show up with the Bulldog at 3 here on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.